This is Dr. David Whitlock with your Monday Morning Wake-Up Call, the podcast designed to help people wake up to the possibilities that surround them every day and become the person they're meant to be in Jesus Christ. How do you establish your priorities for each day if it's more often than not by what is most urgent? You're likely to organize your life in the reactive mode. Now, prayer is an antidote to that. Jesus said the most basic commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That puts the first priority for us as God Himself. That commandment to love God establishes prayer as your first priority. So before anything happens to you in your day, you've already established your relationship with God. And that begins with prayer. And you're telling God that you love Him. In other words, you're living that love relationship with God from the very beginning. Now the question is, how do you maintain that, or how do you start it? Years ago, when I was in my first full-time pastorate in Livingston, Alabama, I followed a prayer guide written by a pastor named Peter Lord. It was called the 2959 Plan. Sold over 500,000 copies. It was a prayer diary, essentially, with a structure based on the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. It encouraged praying for 1 hour. I didn't worry if I didn't spend an entire hour with God, because the main point of the book was to be consistent in spending a good amount of time with God. So each day I would spend that time with God. But a word of caution here about prayer guides and times. I like something Dick Eastman said in a book called The Hour That Changes the World. He said, especially be careful not to become a slave to any prayer system. Indeed, he said, prayer is not a system at all, but the development of a relationship between man and God. The highest goal of the devotional habit, he said, is to strengthen this relationship. End of quote. So I do get up early in the morning. I pray throughout the day as well. But here's what that book did for me. It wasn't the hour, but way back then, it set me in the habit of being consistent and having time with God. I mean, it's not like God speaks to us early in the morning and then that's it. But if we tend to leave prayer to, you know, whatever we can do to get it whenever we can work it in, it likely will never happen. And so we have to establish that priority first thing in the morning, I believe. But at least at some set point, you're praying. And then let that guide you through the rest of the day. So here's several suggestions on establishing that if you're not already, and maintaining that if you already are. Number one, plan for it. I mean, you have to be intentional here. You plan for what you eat, usually. Are we going to have fast food? Or are we going to go out to somewhere nice? Or are we going to eat at home? And if we are, what are we going to cook? You do this when you go to a movie. What movie are we going to see? Where are we going to go? Do we have time? And it's the same way with prayer. Am I going to spend time with God in the morning praying before I go out for the day? Or am I going to stop somewhere during this day and pray? We have to plan that. Do you need to get up earlier? Do you need to allow some time somewhere in your day to get alone or to pause and pray? What if you're just overwhelmed? I mean, you don't have any time at all for prayer. Like a young mother with several children may not be able to devote the same amount of time to prayer as someone whose children are grown. Or like me, I can set aside time to pray because, well, I'm a pastor. That's true. But I could find all kinds of things to do other than pray. I still have to set that as a priority. But I do understand there are seasons in our life when it's more challenging to find that time. You may have never heard of Susanna Wesley. She had 19 children. Two of those children, one was John and one was Charles, went on to literally shake two continents for Jesus Christ. They impacted millions for Jesus Christ. Now here was Susanna's trick. I mean, 19 children. Here's what she did to find time to pray. She would pull her apron over her head, signaling to the children and anyone else that happened to be around that it was her prayer time. Do not disturb. She found a way to have time alone by disappearing under a piece of fabric. It's like a giant do not disturb sign. So her children knew Mama was needed to be left alone, and she was praying. I've heard Joyce Meyer, the popular Christian speaker, say her children didn't understand why she would go into a room and pray. And she said, "You better believe I'm better off if I go in that room and I'm by myself before I come out to you." But I know when your children are even younger, it's hard for that. But you'd be determined to find some time somewhere to pray. Maybe early in the morning is the best. It is for me. And then secondly, listen to God throughout the day, not just in the morning. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, the Bible says. So wait. And the Bible also says, "Alone in God, rest my soul in silence." I like to listen to God and His nudgings during the day. God doesn't speak to me in an audible voice, but I try to remain in a spirit of prayer so that I'm able to listen to Him through the day. And then give thanks to God. Give thanks to Him throughout the day. And what that does, it gets the focus off ourselves. Paul Bilheimer said this. Here's one of the greatest values of praise. It decentralizes self. The worship and praise of God demands a shift of center from self to God. One cannot praise God, he said, without relinquishing occupation with self. Praise produces forgetfulness of self, and forgetfulness of self is health. Well, think about that. You want to be healthier mentally and even physically, give thanks for all things. And then another thing, be honest with God. Throughout the day, be honest with God. And that means being aware of our mistakes and missteps and misspoken statements. As soon as we are unkind to someone or selfish or impatient, catch yourself in that and be honest with God. And let Him know in a spirit of prayer where you've gone wrong. Let Him set you back on the right track. And finally, it's okay to ask for yourself. We often ask for other people, and we think that that's more noble than asking for ourselves. Well, the thing is, usually when we ask for others, our motives are not as mixed as they are for ourselves. But yet, we should ask for ourselves. Be honest with God about your feelings and ask Him what to do with the problem you're having. Ask Him how you can overcome those issues in your life, because you're not going to be any good to other people if you don't take care of those things with yourself. And so throughout the day, you're encountering God. You're encountering His Word. That is the benefit of being thankful and rejoicing through the day. I like what D.L. Moody said. He said, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be." My word for you this morning is, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to rejoice. You can enjoy your life now. Set your first priority of the day as prayer, as meeting with God. Let that guide you, and don't leave it till you go to bed at night. Then come back here next week and join me right here. And in the meantime, go out there and be the person God intended you to be.
Dragged a comb across my head. Found my way downstairs and drank a cup. Looking up.